lads, it is indeed Friday, and for those of you that have been long-time Freedom Frenzy listeners, you've probably tuned in expecting this to be Frenzied Friday. Well, in a way it is going to be Frenzied Friday, but the frenzy is going to be entirely different in flavor today. And I say that because, well, since Wednesday of this week, we've had a gentleman with us. His name is Roger Sales. And Roger has been, well, let's just put it bluntly. Roger has been educating us on the nuances of citizenship, the methodology of the government, and I guess maybe we ought to add to that the powers that be, that have been using what is probably one of the most blatant, fraudulent situations that you might want to ever put your mind around, that have been, that other than the money, of course, that has been used to simply allow you, the American person, to put yourself in a cage and then rail against it because you're unhappy with it. And it's diabolical. And we've decided that we're going to have Roger back today, and we're going to do the complete two-hour program with Roger. And I expect that there's going to be some additional. Roger's already promised me that we're going to have two more bombshells at least that he's going to set off here on RBN today on Freedom Frenzy. And I actually, when I sent all that stuff out last night, I encouraged each and every person that was on our e-list to use the opportunity to get a hold of as many people as you possibly can and get them to tune in today. I hope you did that.
Terry.
Yes, dear.
You realize that having Roger on today means we have to apologize to everybody, because today we had promised and tantalized everyone that we would be talking about extraterrestrials.
We did, didn't we? Shame on us.
Yes, well, shame on us.
Some people call me that.
You're not from around here, are you, Roger?
Well, actually, you know what the Spanish word for foreigner is extra tajanja. Does that count?
That totally counts.
Okay.
Can you talk to us about the pretend moons on Mars or around Mars?
No, I only talk about things I can get my arms around.
Oh, okay.
And that is information that's credible, that people can check on, that people can think about, and people can see its validity. And actually, you know, I used to send, there's a very popular site that has a lot of that stuff on it, and I'd send people over there and say, there's a bunch of good information here, but if the UFO thing, it bothers you, just ignore it, because I want to give information to people they can relate to and go search out and find themselves and learn. And I don't doubt the validity of that other stuff anymore, because there's really too much factual truth, but I don't get into it because you lose people. And I'm trying to gain people. So, you know, it's diametrically opposed to my methodology.
Yeah, that mixed message stuff is costly sometimes.
So, listen, we got a bunch to talk about today.
Yes,
and,
we do.
And I'm going to show you some of the practical applications. And I know you sent me a message from one of your email recipients saying that I didn't know basically what I was talking about. And we're going to address that here towards the end. This stuff works, okay? That affidavit, once again, I'll tell you, and I guess some of your listeners have gotten that by now. Hopefully they've had a chance to read it. And you got to understand what an affidavit is. An affidavit's the highest form of truth there is in law. It bypasses the rules of evidence, which is a big block that they put up to be able to keep evidence out of courtrooms with procedure. And until it's rebutted by another affidavit contesting your statements, and it's properly executed and properly signed under penalty of perjury, yours stands. And so it's a very, very powerful, powerful document. Lawyers use them literally all the time, and because they're powerful. Okay, mm-hmm. And we'll talk about dealing with those and how to deal in the process today. It's Jerry on a conversation we had about the individuals representing Satan.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Well, Roger, I wanted to tell everybody that I was very enthused with the response that we got to get on the e-list to get your affidavit and a copy of that passport application form. And I will tell you that I was stunned by the number of people that wrote in to be added to the list. Our e-list total went up by almost 13% yesterday, and I set all that up just as I said I would, and I made the cutoff at 11 o'clock, and I'm saying that pointedly because I received several more requests this morning that I simply couldn't do because of the size of Roger's affidavit file in PDF, high-resolution PDF. My bulk email program ran all night long, and this morning, before I got to the got to leave to come to work this morning, I had to reset it up for all of you that bounced, and there's a bunch of you that need to put for life and liberty at bellsouth.net in your box, in your address book, so that doesn't happen. And I sent them all. I didn't stick around to see if they were going to bounce again, but I did my part. Okay, so, Roger, I'm not going to take any more of the time away from you. I wish you would go ahead and commence.
Without further ado, as they say. Okay,
yes,
well, let's do a little bit of wrap-up where we were. We covered that statement by Chief Justice Fuller of the Supreme Court on telling you that the feudal system is in operation, was brought into the country with the 14th Amendment. And we talked about all the legal definitions and all the concepts here. And we're going to move out of kind of the heavy law stuff today and into more practical application. and discussions and more remedies. But just to pick people up, how did you get into the system? You volunteered. It's very simple. They ask you what you were, and you told them because you'd been tricked and by the deception of words, which I don't know if we've mentioned this. I do have a book coming out here pretty quick with all this information in it, and the title is Government by the Treachery and the Deception of Words. So they ask you these questions. They ask you, are you a citizen of the United States? And you could ask them, are you talking about a citizen of the United States or a citizen of the United States of America? And that's a good way to start playing with people's minds, because those two things are totally different. Are you a U.S. person is another way that they'll use it in nomenclature. And are you a resident? And if you answered yes to any of those and signed anything, you are now contractually, you told them what they were. Now, if you want to go back to the old cliche, ignorance of the law is no excuse, ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you're going to be free, it takes some effort, and that includes studying and learning what freedom's about. So they ask you, in our words, they said, Jerry, are you a slave or are you a free man? You said, well, I'm a slave.
So, I said, Massa, I'm a slave. That's what
well,
I said.
That's it. I mean, you know, and here's the basis of this, and it's totally legitimate. They can't tell you what you are because that's tyranny. But if they ask you what you are and you tell them, well, hell, Jerry and Jenny, you ought to know what the hell you are. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, and if you tell them you're a slave, they're going to treat you like one, and they're treating the whole country like a bunch of them that they legally are this very day that we're speaking, okay? Mm. So, you know, those are important things to understand. I think, in my studies, I think the theory and the concept of this came from a Scottish writer a few centuries back named John Locke. John Locke, I found out when I didn't know all this stuff when I got into this 18 and a half years ago. This is product of my dedicated study over all these years. I didn't even know who John Locke was, to tell you the truth. And John Locke was a huge influence on Thomas Jefferson. And a lot of John Locke's ideas are incorporated in the Declaration of Independence. And at some point, back down the line, John Locke wrote a book. I've listened to it on audio cassette. I've never read it, called Two Treaties of Government. And one of the treaties of government that he pontificated on was called Government by Contract. And I'm pretty sure that's where this whole idea came from, because that's exactly what we're under. All right? And this, I have to think, is probably, this is the biggest key that I missed for years. And I've told you and your audience that my purpose here is to try and get you up to speed and understanding this as quickly as possible and not having to take 18 and a half years like it's taken me to totally understand this. Because some of these revelations, and that's truly what they are to me, have just come to me in the last few weeks. And I've been messing with this stuff for a long time. Very, very dedicated, very in-depth, okay? And I will tell you, what one of my teachers told me very early on, it didn't sink in at the time, and that is administrative agencies are the key to understanding this whole thing. So administrative agencies are called regulatory agencies also. And what are they and when did they come into existence? Well, they started to come into existence in the 30s, and they started to come into existence in that New Deal when we read that William T. McFadden quote yesterday that Frankfurter and all his buds were the whole legal minds behind this and talking about that in front of American law school conventions and stuff. Well, the administrative agencies came out of Roosevelt's New Deal, and Roosevelt had a lot of problems instituting some of these. A lot of people took it to court. And we still had constitutional grounding back then as they were trying to institute it. There's a couple of very famous Schechter versus Schechter Poultry and a couple of other cases from the 30s that delve into all of this. Well, they started the administrative agencies because that's when they started the slave system. It's just like the McFadden quote said, the New Deal lawyers have no hesitancy appearing in court and asserting that private citizens can contract away their constitutional rights. So they were putting the yoke on the American people in the 30s, and the way that the yoke is bridled is with administrative agencies. So administrative agencies were totally, you know, it used to be the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco. and now it's the Internal Revenue Agency. Okay, so they've switched all those from bureaus to these regulatory agencies. And as I said yesterday, the roadmap for this came out of the French Revolution, because that's where the word bureaucrat came from. All right. So you can go back historically and find all this stuff. It's just difficult to put all the pieces together. And that's what I'm trying to do for you guys in a relatively short amount of time here so you'll understand it. So they came about in the 30s, and they had new procedures. And they were trying to pass a big chunk of legislation called the Administrative Procedures Act, and that is the act that governs how administrative agencies have to, by law, operate. And they couldn't get that piece of legislation passed until after World War II. It was not passed until 1946, and you can find it, and those of you who want to go digging around, you can find it in Title V of the United States Code, and it's around Section 552. That's where the sections are that deal with the promulgation of regulations, which we're going to talk about. Okay, so who do they administrate? Well, an administrative or regulatory agency, they can only administrate people that they got jurisdiction over. I mean, you know, it's like this guy we talked about that's out there saying that they own you because you're using their currency. Well, you know, I don't see the IRS going over to China. They got copious amounts of American currency. They're trying to get rid of it as quick as they can. They got the second most American dollars in the world in Argentina. I hadn't seen a single IRS agent on the street down here in 2.5 years. Okay? So those people can only go administrate these regulations and enforce them on regulated entities. Jurisdiction. Jurisdiction's the key to this whole thing, okay? So how do they administrate? Well, administrative agencies promulgate regulations. Now, this goes back, you can go right down to the government printing office, Jerry, there in Atlanta. It's right there at 14th and Peachtree, used to be. And you can go in there, and there's a book they publish called How Laws Are Made. And this is stuff people don't know, okay? So how are laws made? Well, laws are either originated in the Senate or in the House. All spending bills have to originate in the House because that's the people's house. The Senate used to be the state's representation into government, but when they did away with the states after the Civil War with the Reconstruction Acts, then they went to the fraudulent 17th Amendment where the states don't appoint senators anymore like they used to. They're popularly elected so they can control it with graft and money now.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this is an aside. This is something I've never heard anybody say, but I always wondered why they did that, okay, besides just this states thing. And it hit me one day that what did the Senate ratify? What is the only body, exactly, and how have they entangled us in all this international stuff? How are they trying to take away the guns right now? How have they brought all these international laws in? They got us into treaties, and treaties are only okayed by the Senate. And now they got all their little puppets in there to okay their little treaties. Okay, makes sense?
Yep.
Makes sense to me. Okay. So how do they administrate? Well, administrative agency, we'll go back to the law. Sorry. You got me off track here. A bill either arises in the Senate or the House, and both of those bodies have to pass it. And if that bill is not conforming with both bodies, then they send it to a conference committee and hammer out the differences until it's acceptable to both sides. And when they've both agreed on it, they send it to whoever the puppet is that sits in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and he, at the dictate of his master, signs it. Now, at that point, it becomes law. It goes into the statutes at large, not the United States Code. And then it's passed to whichever administrative agency has authority over that body of information. Okay. And then the administrative agencies promulgate regulations where they interpret that law into the regulations that are going to be enforced on the regulated entities. Now, this is where the changes come in, because in law, in legal circles, regulations are called little laws. And they are. They're binding on the regulated entities. You can overturn regulations. The Congress can. But very few times are they ever overturned or changed. And you'll hear the phrase, the original intent of Congress, when you're battling things like the EPA and all of these guys that have run amok, if you will, with their regulations and the way they've interpreted that law upon the regulated group. So, there's our music.
Indeed. You're getting very good at this, Roger. But I think you've had a lot of practice. We're going to cut away to a break. A lot more Freedom Frenzy left to go. We'll be right back.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a one-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease. A phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back to Freedom Frenzy. Today we've got Roger Sales on with us, and the reality of the revolution is that it can be quickly and effectively implemented by each and every individual American in a non-confrontational, lawful, peaceful way by simply establishing your rightful status. And Roger is telling us exactly how to accomplish that today. Take over.
I will, thanks. And I'm going to go back to something we didn't talk about that we talked about a couple of days ago, and that's Sun Tzu. And, you know, every conqueror in the history of the world read Sun Tzu, didn't matter what time they lived in. And the Mossad's motto is, by way of deception, we shall make war. And that's classic Sun Tzu. And one of the things Sun Tzu said is, he said, the ideal way of winning any battle is when you don't have to fire a shot. And that's what this is. That's the information I'm giving you, and I'm going to explain that as we go through today and address Paul's concern about going to court and all those kind of things. So anyway, let me tell you about this regulatory thing, because this is ultra important, okay? Ultra important. This is how you chop the taproot, but you have to understand what the taproot is. So administrative agencies take that law signed by the president, and they what's called promulgate regulations. And, you know, there's a basic phrase in law, and I don't care which kind of law you'll hear, is due process. All right? Due process is notice and the right to be heard. So if we're going to have regulations that are called little laws that, meet the requirements of due process, we have to have notice. So how do they give notice on regulations? Well, they go to the legal organ of the federal government, and it's called the Federal Register. And they post these regulations in the Federal Register. And every day there's a bunch of regulations posted from all kinds of different administrative agencies. And there's several different types of regulations. All right? We're not going to delve into all of them, but one of them. The first one's called Statements of Policy. That's simply what it is, Statements of Policy. The other ones are called Interpretive. And they are just what they say. They're interpreting some law, and it really deals more with the federal government, the internal agency, and the other agencies. The third one is the only kind that has what they call general applicability, and that's the exact term they use. And that means it applies to you, all right, the regulated group. And those are called substantive regulations. And in the Federal Register, the way that they have to promulgate them is totally spelled out in Title V of the United States Code, Section 552, et seg, as they say, and following. And that totally adheres to due process, because that particular process is called notice and comment. And you'll see in the Federal Register, if it's a substantive regulation, at the top it'll go, notice of proposed rulemaking. And they'll lay out whatever the regulation is, however complicated it is. And down at the bottom it says, you have so many days, 60, 90 days, to give us a comment. And it'll tell you who to write to, what the address is, and all that. And that's not a final regulation. That's a notice, the first part of due process, of a proposed regulation, because it now has general applicability, or it's going to have. So they take all of those comments in, notice and the right to be heard, the right to be heard, your right to comment, and they're supposed to take all of those comments into consideration, and then they rewrite that regulation, supposedly with the comments taken into consideration, and the big title of that one is Notice of Final Rulemaking. And then they list the regulation again the second time after the comments have been taken into consideration. And then it doesn't even take effect, and I don't remember exactly, for 30 or 60 or 90 days after that required amount of time that it's supposed to run in the Federal Register. So it's a very specific process. Now, the point being is, unless that regulation goes through notice and comment, it does not have general applicability. And when I was fighting the IRS there down at the Richard B. Russell Gulag, right downtown, you know where it is, up on the God knows what floor it was, and that's when I had to learn all this stuff. And they were hitting me on a summons for books and records from a bank I was using there. And so my friend Gary in Atlanta is the one that hammered all this stuff into me, and it took a while. And so at the bottom of every regulation in the Federal Register, there's a little brackets, and it tells you where that regulation has been published before. So you can go back and trace that regulation. You'll have to go to the microfiche and go back and trace that regulation. Well, when I started doing that, I found out that that summons for books and records was not notice and comment. It was only published as an interpretive regulation. So you see, that has no bearing on general applicability, and the IRS is out there using that every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd already been in court. I'd
a lot of things that they do you don't have to respond to, though.
Well, that's right. And if you want to go to court and fight these guys, that's a way you can trip them up, because they have to adhere to this process. It's in the United States Code. It's their dictate on how they do things. Now, unfortunately for me, I had already had a hearing. I mean, look, these creeps flew down an assistant U.S. attorney all the way from D.C. to fight me. Okay, I had an IRS agent on the stand up there in the Richard B. Russell building for 4.5 hours. She didn't like me very much. Now, I honestly didn't know what I was doing, and they were objecting to everything I was trying to get into evidence, and very little of it got in, but it was a hell of an experience for me, and it taught me that that's not the place I want to do battle with these people, all right? So, anyway, unfortunately for me, I learned that information, that regulation was put in the original IRS code in 1954, and it was just published. It didn't go through notice and comment. All right? There's our music again.
God, you're good. All right, we're going to cut away to a break. I hope you guys are taking notes. This is a lot of useful information, and I think you probably are going to take this weekend and puzzle over it. We're going to cut away to a break. I'm going to go grab something more to drink. You do the same. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill, handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
This is your call to action, America. It's time to get prepared. Food prices, fuel prices, dollar collapse, earthquakes, tornadoes, nuclear meltdown. Where's your plan? Get one at the Get Prepared Expo in Springfield, Missouri, May 14th and 15th, downtown at the Expo Center. Learn about survival economics, gold, silver, emergency food, water filtration, solar and wind power, heirloom seeds and gardening, how to prepare and defend your home, and hear from John Moore as he speaks about global warming and what the government isn't telling you, and John Stadtmiller with what is in store for you. Plus, meet the 2012 candidate for President of the United States, and Sheriff Richard Mack and Larry Pratt. All this and much more at the Get Prepared Expo. Expo, May 14th and 15th in Springfield, Missouri, for the low admission price of only $7. Get details now at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Let's just cut to the chase. Roger, would you please continue?
Yeah, well, we were talking about these regulations and the notice and comment thing, and the fact we've mentioned already that this was a system that was brought forward from the French Revolution. And I'm going to read a regulation to you now, okay? And this is titled 26 CFR. Regulations, by the way, if you go into the law library, even in some public libraries, they've got these. They're a little like booklet thing over on the shelf, and it says the Code of Federal Regulations. You'll have the big hardback books that say the United States Code, and then you'll have the Code of Federal Regulations, and that's what these are. And every code title has an accompanying title of federal regulation. So it'll be Title 5 United States Code, Title 5 Code of Federal Regulations. They call it CFR. Okay, and what I'm going to read to you today is Title 26 of the CFR. That's everybody's favorite. That's the income tax CFR regulations. And this is all these regulatory agencies right up at the front of whichever body of books those are in that particular title, they have to tell you who the regulated group are, okay? And the IRS is no different. And the IRS has it, and this is 26 CFR 1.1, is that pretty basic, 1.1-1A. So that's right up there at the first, all right? And it says income tax on individuals. General rule. Section 1 of the code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States and to the extent provided by 877B or 877 or 871B on the income of a non-resident alien individual. Now, if you go to the next page over to 1.1-1C, they on always on the next page, there's another little question. It says, who is a citizen? Well, since the income tax is imposed on every citizen and resident and these non-resident alien guys, you think it may be important to know what they define a citizen as, Jerry and Jenny?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, okay, well, it's pretty simple. It says every person born or naturalized in the United States and subject to its jurisdiction is a citizen. You know, I think we've heard that before. I think we read that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction of are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. Isn't that the 14th Amendment?
It is.
Who is a citizen? Every person born or naturalized in the United States and subject to its jurisdiction is a citizen. Bingo. Okay. Well, we know a little bit about that, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And it's so, a greatly small number if in reality.
And so, really, there's only two choices here. Am I right? A citizen or resident or a non-resident alien?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what that first part said?
Yep.
Okay. Now let's go back over to our passport application. And here on the passport application, on the oath, I declare under penalty of perjury that I am a citizen, United States citizen or a non-citizen national and have not since acquiring United States citizenship or U.S. nationality performed any of the acts or conditions listed under acts or conditions on the reverse of this application, etc. So in the passport application, they've got two pretty distinct statuses there too, don't they? Don't they?
Yeah, they do, but it's non-citizen national.
National. And the other over here is called a non-resident alien, but there's only two, isn't there?
Yeah.
And you see, this tells you how important the tax system is to these creeps, because they weren't going to put that same nomenclature over here. They're going to try and fool you, all right? But in the passport application, because the State Department deals with all matters of citizenship, and a passport's the most important passport identification document you can get, they couldn't, and they must by law, put it correctly here. So what is the difference here between a U.S. national and a non-resident alien? If you answer this, you're going to move to the front of the class, Jenny.
I would say nothing.
That's correct. And let me tell you how they're used. This goes right back to this trickery of words.
Hold on, Roger. Hold on. If there's nothing, you're saying that the non-resident alien is the same thing as the non-citizen national. Is that correct?
I'm not going to say it. I'm going to tell you who said it in just a second.
Okay, well, that's the basis for my question.
Yes, it is, and I'm going to tell you because this explains what we've been trying to hammer home to you for the last couple of sessions we've been together.
Okay, I need to ask this question. If they are indeed functionally interchangeable, isn't it the saying that it's also one of the elements or one of the peoples that is specified in Title 26 that is under their jurisdiction insofar as the sale income tax is concerned?
Well, it is to the extent, as it says here, of 877B and 871B. And if you go back and research those sections, guess what they are, Jerry? Constitutional taxation. Okay.
Give me those sections again.
So that is the same ticket.
871 and 877. Now, I'm going to strip your enemy bare. The emperor's going to have no clothes, all right? So I'm going to tell you how they're using this, and it's going to give you tremendous insight into who you're fighting, just like Sun Tzu said, know your enemy. Because the way they're using that term right there, Jenny, you're a mother, right? You got six kids?
Yep, six kids.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you either pregnant or you're not pregnant?
Yeah, it's hard to be a little pregnant, though.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you a resident or are you a non-resident?
I would like to be a non-resident.
Okay. Well, that's up to you. All right. So, and if you're a non-resident, then that citizenship, this federal citizenship we've gone into great detail, is alien to the citizenship of the 14th Amendment, isn't it?
Yep.
So I guess, really, if you're that U.S. national over here that they talk about in the passport, then it must be, since there's only two options here in the CFR, that must be your citizenship is non-resident, which means you're not a state citizenship under the second pincher of the 14th Amendment, and that citizenship is alien to the citizenship of the 14th Amendment, the federal citizenship. So they don't call you a U.S. national. They call you a non-resident alien. Now, you don't think that they'd be trying to trick you, do you? Okay, and just down a little bit more, just to put a little extra cake icing on the cake, they say, oh, a U.S. national is a citizen of American Samoa. Well, you know, it doesn't say that over here in any of the information from the State Department. Okay, so there's your two distinct things of citizenship, because you see, they had to get the taxing system in. And this put another big piece of the puzzle just for me the other night. In all that reading I did for all those years and why some of this stuff stuck with me, I should say I don't know, but now I do know. And in reading about how they took over the country after they got the money supply and they wanted to start taking over the government, guess what the first position they felt was critical to have? Secretary of State. See, I never could figure that out, because I always imagine that's dealing with foreign nations and stuff. Secretary of State, they're flying hither and yon. But you see, now we know that state deals with all matters of citizenship, and they had to have the State Department in there to put this whole game in that Felix Frankfurter and his band of whatever the hell they are imposed on the American people in the 30s.
Wow.
Okay? What a tangled web we unweave. Okay, so there's one bombshell. And that's why, if you've read that affidavit, by the way, you'll see that it states plainly that I am not a non-resident, or a non-resident alien in the code, that applies to me. Okay, so, and I forget the exact verbiage because I haven't read it in a long time. But you'll notice in that affidavit that it tells them what I'm not. Not necessarily. See, the big problem with our people is we're going around waving a flag saying we're sovereign. And the way you come at these people is you come tell them what you're not, because there are only two choices. And if you put that in an affidavit form, anybody that knows much about law knows that it's very difficult to disprove a negative. So you're not telling them what you are, you're telling them what you're not. And you leave what you are as a matter of default. Because then they've got to put out another affidavit, sworn under penalty of perjury, contesting and overriding what you've said in yours for that affidavit to stand. And there's been a bunch of those affidavits floating around for 20 years to IRS and every other kind of agency. And let me tell you what, they're not one time that one of them has been overruled with another affidavit. Not once. And in law, silence deems consent. And if they hadn't been overruled and it stood for 20 years, it's the highest form of truth in law, period. Argue with that, Paul. Okay? So, we did that. Is that kind of exciting? Is that a kind of a bombshell?
That's seriously exciting.
Okay. Now then, I'm going to tell you where it came from and where it confirmed it to me. The number one case on the 16th Amendment is a case called Brushhaber. It's commonly referred to. It's a long case. It's very difficult to read. It's very difficult to understand. If you'll go drag that case up on the Internet, they'll give you a synopsis of it. And in there, one, it says, Frank Brushhaber claimed he was a non-resident alien. Now, that's just a claim, all right? But, you know, in every tax case that is heard by the Supreme Court, the Treasury, Secretary of the Treasury, writes a thing called a Treasury decision. They refer to them as TDs, and you can go back and read them. If you got a federal depository close to you and you don't believe me, you go read this, all right? Because this Treasury decision was the Treasury decision written off the Brishaber case. And the guy that wrote it was Secretary of the Treasury McAdoo. I saw it with my own eyes. And right there in the Treasury decision, in the first paragraph, it says, Frank Brishaber, a citizen of the state of New York and a non-resident alien. So if you don't believe this, when you're out there hunting up Justice Fuller's grave, go hunt up McAdoo's grave and argue with him and tell him he didn't know what the hell he was talking about either. Clear as clear, clear as mud.
And how can you be a citizen of a state?
I do have some questions, Roger, but I'm going to save them
for
later.
This is back in the old days, and you may have to ask that question to McAdoo, okay?
No. I have some questions for you, sir. Please continue.
Okay. So what we've talked about is they control you through regulations and through threats, fear, intimidation, and mostly through fear of loss. If you start going and talking to people about IRA, oh, they'll throw me in jail. They'll take everything I own. And that's that fear of loss, all right? And I had that fear. Everybody has that fear because they've done a real good job of conditioning you with it. But I'm going to tell you, when the worm turned for me, is when I made the decision to move to Argentina, and I had to go put that application for passport in. And that guy wouldn't take it there, and I had to go down there to the driver's license division and get that ID card. And when that lady asked me those two questions, and I said no, and she acted like nothing. She just kept on going, man. And I went, wow. Okay? And that, from that point on in my life, this information, which I had assimilated for so many years, made me empowered. And I'm empowered. And I don't have a problem about going up and confronting any of these people. In fact, I'm going to digress for a story here. First time I came down here, I'd never flown out of the country before. My buddy met me in Miami. He flew out of Atlanta. I came down from Panama City. And we're down there in the concourse of the Miami airport, and we're waiting to board the plane. And he gets through his little checkout thing quick, and he's over there sitting down. He's a real gregarious guy, and he's talking to this couple there. And so by the time I finished, I went down, and I sat down in the middle of the conversation. And they were from the embassy in Jamaica. And they were going on a month-long vacation to Argentina. And so we talked a little bit, and then we all got on the plane, and it's an all-night flight down here. It's a real long flight. Well, I'm a long way away from you folks, all right, even though I sound like I'm right in the room with you. And so the next morning after the long overnight flight, everybody needs to go to the bathroom. So everybody gets up about the same time. They wake you up in the plane, and there's a line at the bathroom there in the back, and I'm standing there, and this guy's next to me. And I start talking. It was just hitting the news about people expatriating at that point. And so I start talking. I said, you know, I've seen the news stories about these people at expatriation at the embassies. And he goes, well, that's what I do. And I went, wow, no kidding. And so I start into all this stuff. I said, man, do you know there's two forms of citizenship in the United States? And he goes, I don't know. You'd have to ask somebody at the legal department in D.C. about that. And I just kept going on. Listen, man, that guy got out of line. He never got to the bathroom where I was. He couldn't get away from me fast enough. He went up that aisle like a scalded gazelle. Okay?
That's
and
awesome.
I never saw him again. And that's a true story, okay? And all I'm doing is just asking him questions and making statements. So it was kind of funny, you know, and I've thought about it a lot of times since. So how they got control of us? They got control of us because when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the tablets there, Jenny, what did he find?
Everybody hanging out with the calf.
That's right, the golden calf of materialism. That's exactly what they've done. They've distracted you with the golden calf of materialism through the mechanism of money. You mentioned something about money in the opening. You know, let's revisit this, all right? It's not the money that gives them the jurisdiction over you. We've seen where they get the jurisdiction over you. But what is happening now is that you are property in their scheme of law, and they are pledging you as collateral, not for the Federal Reserve notes, but for the bonds. So you are capitalizing the basis, the bond market that's allowed this whole thing to happen. So you see, and if you want, I'll get on and do another program with you on money, because I know some of the stuff like we're covering here that very few people know about the money supply too, all right, and how they work and where their trick is in a bookkeeping entry that makes every loan in America, and in fact in the world, I'm sure, a fraud. Okay. Now, that's tantalizing enough in itself. We don't have the time to go into it now, but that's what they're doing. They're using you as collateral, and your children and your grandchildren and anybody else that's in this devil slave system as collateral for those damn bonds. And that's the underpinning of the whole system.
Wow.
I could hear a pin drop all the way in Argentina.
I know. I'm just trying to take it all in and putting all the little pieces together.
It's difficult to take it all in. You're getting a drink of water out of a fire hydrant here.
Yes.
And that's why, really, I'd like for the audience, if we want to do a question and answer thing, you guys sit on this for a few days and you ponder it and you let it filter down. So if we're going to deal with questions, let's deal with intelligent questions from somebody that has at least some sort of handle on it. Because for every question somebody's going to ask, there's 10 or 12 people out there that have the same one or others that are affiliated or are associated. So if you want, I'm going to just touch on this. This is another whole group of information that we can delve into in a number of programs in the future. And that is the tax system they've brought forward is the English tax system that was used by the king for over 600 years in England. If you want to put this term into a search engine, you'll find out some stuff about it. It's not going to explain it to you, but it's based on a thing called a statute staple bond. And this law, as I mentioned to you, Jerry, goes back to 1258. So, and in that law, it says these are procedures from time immemorial. Okay? There's the music.
Polly, I got tons of notes. This is great, great stuff. And you're right. This is a mental chew toy that's going to need to be
tested. A mental chew toy.
Hang on, y'all.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome back to Freedom Frenzy. I know you guys have your papers and your pencils, and you're trying to get your mind around these amazing two toys. And, you know, Roger, you put it, you nailed it on the break when you said, every time you step back for a clearer look, the picture gets bigger, and the interconnections of everything get more profound and more deeply embedded.
Well, you know, as you get into this and start understanding this technical stuff we're talking about and how all this has been accomplished, that's why I told you that I found God. Because to me, this could not be set up by mortal man, okay? This does not come from man's mind, all right? And it's through the internalization of all this over the years that I found God. And I'm going to use that as a segue because I'm going to read a piece out of the Bible here. And the Bible I use is a Farrar Fenton Bible. I'll give you a little bit of background on Farrar Fenton. He was English. And in the 1850s, he was at Oxford. And he had the idea that England was going astray because they were reading the King James Version of the Bible. And it's that old, antiquated English language that's only used even back then in a couple of counties or parishes or whatever they are in England. So he decided that he would retranslate the Bible into modern English. And it was his life's work. It took him 50 years, or he didn't finish it till in the early part of last century. And he was so fanatical about it that he had his own, he translated from the original Greek, the Septuagint, and the original Hebrew. And every time he'd come to a word that he could not translate absolutely correctly to his satisfaction, he would write the leading translators in the world in those languages, and he would not proceed until he had an answer back from them. And over the years, when I've had a pastor that was taking Hebrew and Greek and teaching out of the Septuagint, and every time there's a question on a word, and he'd go over all the different things that it could be translated at, every time, without exception, Farrar Fenton had it nailed. Okay, so this is a great Bible, and I would say if any of you want to get this Bible, because you're going to like it when you hear it read, I would encourage you to buy it through scriptures4america.org and help Pete out there. Okay, so this is Revelation 18, and it says, after this, I saw another angel descending from the heaven, possessing great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his majesty, and with a voice of strength he proclaimed, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a refuge of demons, a haunt for every malign spirit, and a hold for every filthy and hateful bird. Because every nation has been made drunk by her with the fury of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have been enriched by the power of her luxury. Then I heard another voice from the heavens saying, Come out of her, my people, that you may not be partakers with her sins, and that you may not become recipients of her plagues. For her sins are piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her wickedness. Repay to her what she has given, and redouble it in accordance with her doings. The cup which she has poisoned, poison it with double for her. And she has glorified herself and luxuriated. Give her in the same way torment and anguish. Because in her heart she says, I sit a queen, I'm not a widow, and shall never see suffering. Because of this, in a single hour, her plagues have come, death, anguish, and famine, and to be burnt in fire, because God, her judge, is mighty. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and luxuriated with her shall weep and wail over her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar in fear of her torment, they shall cry, Alas, alas, the great city of Babylon, the mighty city, how has your judgment come in a single hour? The merchants of the earth shall weep and grieve for her, because of the cargo none buys any more, their cargo of gold and of silver and jewels and pearls and cotton and purple and silk and scarlet and all sweet wood and ivory toys and all products of costly wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and cloves and scents and myrrh and incense and wine and oil and fine flour, wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and carriages and bodies and souls.
Gold ever climbing as the dollar